Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus Christ takes and sets a lot of things straight. As I like to say it, as I understand it and kind of categorize things, you know, Jesus is revealing the thinking of God. We've got a lot of our own thinking that we're plagued with, really, and we need it straightened out by what the Lord says, by what the Lord believes, His Word. And so, on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is a passage that the children of God indeed need to know, and everybody needs to know it, but you need to know about this. You need to know what the Lord says. This is a portion of Scripture that it do us well to review often, because the Lord's talking about living life, and that's what the subject is this morning: the living of life. And we're going to focus on it's general. It is general in a sense, and we're going to focus on this passage here and the content of this passage. Living life. Verse number 7 of Matthew 7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we pray, Father, that you'd help us that we might see what you say about the living of life that you have given us. Help us, Father, to know the truth about it. Help us, Lord, to know what you say about it. Help us, Father, to take what you say and apply it to these lives that you've given unto us. Help us, Father, to know that none of us are freelancers. We might think that we're freelancers, but, Lord, none of us are. Help us, Lord, that we might hear your truth. Lord, make your word effectual to your children. Make it effectual to those that are here without Christ as Savior. And Father, make it real. Make it understood in our hearts, Father, that it is your word from you and it is the truth. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The living of life. We have at hand today a generation or three that only exist. You hear that? They only exist. They are there. They do not have life as described and defined in the Word of God. A mass of humanity, and that's just talking about people, that mostly sit there and consumes. Okay? They consume food. They consume drink. They consume entertainment. They're just there. They're just there. There's a running joke in our day regarding the millennials, all right, that group of the millennials. And there is some humorous things that have been put out regarding them, this generation. And in our day, they like to define, you know, there's a Generation X and there's the baby boomers and there's the millennials. They like to hang a tag on different groups, different generations that come along. A running joke regarding millennials and their dependence on their parents and others. They don't live life. They're just kind of there. They sit around waiting for all things to come to them. They believe that they deserve a living from the world. But in reality, their situation is very, very sad. Really, it is. It's sad because they're not living life. There's one thought that I heard some years ago about dealing with these that are in this shape. And you know, it's really a testimony to the brokenness of our society, or as the brother says, about our culture rot. Several years ago now, I heard about the way of dealing with these that just don't want to live life. There's actually a proposition to take and put them into a virtual life. Put them in a chair, hook them up to an IV, put them in a recliner or a bed that won't cause any bed sores, put them on an IV for nourishment, and then put vision goggles on them and then just give them the life that they want to live. You know, and that's just one thought. We're not going to deal with this. This is not an exhaustive message about the subject, but that's a proposition by some to take care of these people And what a pitiful thing from you would see him laying in a chair. There's actually movies that are made kind of that smack and touch on this kind of thing. One way that we might define the problem is that good, solid values, ethics, and responsibility have not been instilled in them. That's one way that we would describe it, because something's missing. Something's broken. They're damaged. It's just what has happened that it's come about that they go and live and don't live that way. This message isn't about railing on the millennials per se, or about looking to beat them down. But it's just an example in our day of the way things are. And you young people, you've got your life ahead of you. And you need to hear what the Lord says about you going forward from this point on. Again, listen to me. Listen to me just this morning. Please listen to me. And what the message is from the Lord, and don't be distracted by something else. What are the aspects or facets of life? We'll just take them and boil down into simple terms. Well, your person, you got to deal with you, right? You. Your pursuits, what you go do in any respect. You have a family. You have parents and you have a family, but then there's this thing that's coming about your own family, your own home. It's on the way. It's coming. It's knocking at the door and things related to it. And then your relationship with your Creator or God Almighty. You know, those are four facets, four aspects of life that are at hand for everybody. Now, as we've mentioned, you know, you can bail out on them. And that's what the millennials are doing. They bail out on pursuit, don't they? They've not dealt very well with themselves. They've maybe even been programmed by their parents in a bad way to go. They have no relationship with their Creator. But these are the facets of life, aspects of life that all of us have to deal with. And you'll not do well by blowing them off, to use the modern day vernacular. I know that's not very good to say that, but that's what's going on. People are discounting them. Young people are discounting them. And like I said, we've got several generations at hand that they exist and they consume, but they don't live life. This order of your person, pursuits, your family, your own home and family that will be, your relationship with your Creator, God Almighty. This is not the order of importance, but this order is the way these things generally come to us as we grow up. You know, we deal with ourselves. We are pressed by our parents and those that love us to, you know, do something with your life. And then you wake up one day and say, well, I can have a family too. And then somewhere in there, God's always there and is always to be dealt with. But that's generally how it happens in life and the order. The order of importance, though, or practical pursuit, is your relationship with your Creator. That's number one. Even for these little fellas here, that's number one for them. Now, we can't do that for them, but I tell you what, we can give them the truth about the issue and the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. If you have children, young children in your life, I tell you what, you need to teach them, but you need to get them here for church services. They need to be here. I mean, if you have a touch or an influence upon any young children, get them here. And it's not, here is not special because of me or because of us, but because of the Lord. The Lord is here. This is His work. Because they need this. A relationship with Creator is first, God Almighty. Then you of your person. That's really next. And there would be some, and it is true that self should always be last, but you can't get a hold of self being last until you deal with you. Okay, so dealing with you, your person, it is next. And as we learn and we hear from the Lord, the heart can be changed, the soul can be saved, and then the proper order can be understood and pursued better. Then that of your own home and family, you know, your place, your spouse, your children, or your life as a single person with the Lord. You know, there can be a home of one. And see, and that's something that's, well, if I don't have a spouse, I don't have a home. That's not true. Folks that live on their own have a home. And it should be there with the Lord. And then lastly, of these four things we're considering are your pursuits. And you can lump anything in there. Your work, your work in the church, pursuit of the Lord in the church and what he's commanded, your charitable work, your almsgiving, your giving of yourself to others and extended family, neighbors, your pursuits. So living life. How are you living life, and what is your vision for the living of your life? I tell you what, you need to live it. You just don't need to be a blob of humanity just waiting for all things to come to you, to me. But you need to live life. And so many are destroyed today in the way that they've been programmed, the way they've been trained. They're not living life. And they don't know how to teach others how to live life. And see what happens in a handful of generations real quick? You really end up with a real, real bad mess. We do well to understand what comes natural. And just a review of the scripture, you know what it is, I trust. But again, young people, listen. Look at me. Don't get bored with looking at me. Look at me. Pay attention to me. What comes natural? Isaiah 53:6. All, it doesn't say most, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. Okay, so we've got a way. And that turning to that own way, our own way, is away from the Lord. We're like sheep, the Lord tells us. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You take your own way, it will lead you to death. That's reiterated again in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, so that tells us about our own way, my way, Jim Duke's way. It's a deadly way. And these that I've described this morning, I mean, where are they heading? They're not even living physical life to any advantage or blessing or benefit. They're just consuming. They're just there making no contribution. Ezekiel 3:11, the Lord says to the prophet, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but I do have pleasure that the wicked turn from his way and live. That means not turning from our own way will be death. And you know what? Everything that you get out here in the world, that is not impacted or touched by the good word of God and the Lord is going to be the way of man, and it's all deadly. Oh, it may be in vogue, and it may be most popular. But men, women, boys, and girls keep on dying following that way, the broad way that the Lord talks about. He says, I only have pleasure that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, or for why will you die? The Lord says that why will you die? And yes, he's talking to Israel. He is talking to Israel. Those verses that I've read in Isaiah, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And, you know, some might say, well, that's the Lord dealing with Israel. And think about that. Yeah, you're right. It is. It is the Lord dealing with Israel. But what's happened in this whole thing? Our Lord revealed himself to Adam, and he created him, and then Adam sinned, and then he dealt with them and saved him. He did the same with brother Noah. He did the same with brother Abraham. He made a nation. You see, he did the same with brother Job, and then he made a nation. Job might have been amongst the nation. We don't know exactly, but I wonder. I go back and forth about that. Do you see a thing here? The Lord dealt with individuals first, and then he expanded it and made himself known to millions. And then in the course of that, made himself known by his work in that nation to the world. And then indeed, by his own son, he's made himself known to this world. Will we take that and pull that back, that seek the Lord while he may be found would only be for the nation of Israel? Our Lord has said, go tell my gospel to this world. So these principles are there. The Lord speaking through Ezekiel, he's talking to his people. Why will you die? There's no sense in you dying. But our Lord sends that same message to this world. Why will you die pursuing your own way? Why will you? It is very clear if the wicked do not turn from their way, they will die. One would say, well, I'm not wicked. I'm young and tender and I've not got out in any wickedness. I've heard of the wickedness of different ones in my family, different ones that I know of, and the wickedness. I haven't got out in that thing. Well, remember what the Word of God says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. That includes you. Includes me. Yeah, you that are still in your single digits, that includes you. You've sinned against God. You have. And it's good to know that you have. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know how you know you're a sinner? You're afraid of dying. You know that dying is possible. You know that death happens, and when you really get down to thinking about death, you really get afraid about it happening to you. It's one thing for it to happen to your friend. It's one thing for it to happen to a stranger, another for it to happen to a friend, another for it to happen to a loved one, and then for it to be the thought about, that could be me in the coffin. Death is coming. And it's coming because of sin. Isaiah says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, the best that you and I have, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our way takes us away. It kills us. So, we need to understand what comes natural. In Romans chapter 3, you can read it there, in verses 9 through 20. As it is written, the apostle reiterates it there. He goes and chooses from a selection of scriptures and puts them all in together to another passage. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So that's what happens naturally, and that tells us about our way. What is our Lord, or this is a statement, I didn't want to make it a question. What our Lord says about the living of life. What does the Lord say about the living of life? You know, it all started with Adam, didn't it? Adam, and I recently or sometime in the last year preached on this, Adam had a command and he had a couple directives too, didn't he? That flushed that out for me. And Adam really had three things. One of them I yet call the command, but then there was some directive otherwise, okay? What was that? Don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. That was a command because what happened there? The punishment was declared, wasn't it? In the day you eat of it, if you do, in the day you eat of it, you will die. So that was his command indeed. But what was the directive that the Lord had, or that Adam had from the Lord? Dress the garden. That just kind of came along. The Lord took Adam, put him in the garden to dress and keep it. To enjoy it, but to dress and keep it. What was the other thing? Don't work, don't dress and keep it on Saturday. Isn't that what the Lord gave him? Don't dress and keep it on Saturday. It's the day of rest. Like the Lord has rested, you're to rest. A different day. A different kind of day. Sanctified by the command, by the directive of our Lord. So Adam had those three things. He was told to work. He was told to live life the way the Lord said to live life. I'm of the opinion that Adam would have never considered about not working the first day through the sixth day, not dressing the garden, whatever extent that took, and that he would have never disobeyed and not working on the seventh day until he started meddling around with that tree. And when he did, then he and we begin to doubt the Lord even more, don't we? You know what? In obeying God and what the Lord had given him to do, don't eat of the tree, dress and keep the garden, and don't dress and keep the garden on the seventh day. You know what? He honored and worshiped the Lord, didn't he? That's the way it is. When you honor the Lord and you worship the Lord by taking what he says and bringing it to your life. When we don't do that, we disobey. We sin against him and we go on down that other way, that way of destruction rather than the way of the Lord. So it all started with Adam. And you know and understand, I trust, the progression of things and where we're at and what men did. You understand about what happened in Noah's day. Man's thought was only evil continually. And the Lord destroyed man. And then since that time of the flood, we've been about the same kind of business, naturally, mankind has. And we're at that point, our thought, the imagination of our heart, and our wicked pursuits, mankind, society, our culture. We're not living life. There are many that are not living life the way that life is to be lived. So how is it that one is to live? How is it? It's really gotten complicated since the garden, hadn't it? We pointed that out. I mean, it's way different than what Adam had. Temptation abounds. There's a lot of wickedness going on, and a witness that we have from our fellow man about wickedness, and then the temptation of Satan and all that thing that's going on. How is it we are to live? Well, we looked here in Matthew 7, and I believe that you're still there. Listen to what the Lord says. He is indeed speaking to his disciples. I'll not dispute that. But is there any other advice for man? Is there? Is there anything else that we would that the Lord would tell to the heathen? Because listen to this. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I invite you to turn over to Luke chapter 11. We see the same account, seemingly, shown here. Let's read this quickly. He was praying. The disciples said, "Teach us to pray like John did." Now, the Lord gives us the model prayer and understanding about how it is in prayer, acknowledgement of the Father and His will, desire for His will, the necessity of our lives, and the necessity for us, Him to forgive us of our sins, for us to forgive others, the keeping us from temptation, because that really gives us trouble, and the necessity of our Lord that we need Him to deliver us. Petitioning the Lord where we are weak. Newsflash, we're weak in every way. So we've got much to pray for. He goes on and talks about a friend coming in a journey. And he said, "You won't give him bread at midnight because he's your friend, but because he keeps on banging on your door." And so he's speaking about prayer. And so that's a testimony to the children of the Lord about prayer. Verse number 9, we pick it up again. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So the Lord, he on the Sermon on the Mount, and here in this passage, which is near related, or maybe it's another occasion, the Lord reiterates these things. I think the Lord gives the very boiled down directive and declaration about how you and I are to live life. Understand, we don't have our own plan that's going to work. So we need something from outside of us that will work. Hear that? We have nothing of ourselves that's going to work. So what do? Do we just mill around and try to find something better? Or how about we go to the source of life indeed? So in regard to these aspects of life, your relationship with your Creator, God Almighty, your person, your own home, your own potential home and family, your pursuits, who should you and I ask? Well, how about the Lord? Does not the Lord have the answer? Now others, the scripture says, and it's so and it's true, in the multitude of counselors there's wisdom. But I tell you what, if the counselors be of Belial, you're not going to get any good counsel there. Okay? If the counselors are the servants of self and sin and Satan and the world, you're not going to get good counsel there. Any good counsel from someone that you love and that you trust that'll be good counsel of the Lord has been affected by the Lord already. And I know teaching is involved there and conviction by the Lord and the Word of God. But in regard to our relationship with our Creator, God Almighty, or that of our own person, the person that we're going to be, our character and our motive and all that of living life, the drive that we have or don't have, that of our own home and our family, our pursuits, our work, what we do, who should we ask? Well, indeed, it is our Lord. Look over here in Luke chapter 18. Look over here in chapter 18. And if you got your Bible, turn there, especially you young folks. Turn there, Luke 18. What's that say there in that first verse? "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Men. See, there's only one to petition anything from, And that's the Lord. Remember how I told you that Adam worshiped and honored God Almighty and obeying him as he obeyed him in those three things that the Lord gave him to do? Well, that's what you and I do. When we obey the Lord, we honor him and we worship him. Because we submit that his way is the way we need, not our own way. Not our own way. In regards to our relationship with him, who should we ask? Ask him. In regards to seeking, as our Lord says, he says ask and he says seek. Who should we seek for? Who will make a difference? Another man won't make a difference. Oh yes, you may have a witness of good things in Christ from another person. I'm not saying that's not the case, but look, they've already been touched by the Lord. And you, as an individual soul, you need the Lord yourself. You know, mom and daddy can't do it for you. You need the Lord yourself. Oh, your parents, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, they love their children, their nieces and nephews, they do. But you've got to deal with the Lord yourself. In regards to seeking, who should we seek for? Well, the Lord. Hebrews 11:6. Turn there, if you will. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith in the Lord, in Jesus, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." You got to really know and come to the point that the Lord is there. And if he's there, these things that he says, has said, are true. And they apply to you. They apply to you and me. It's not that mom and daddy are the ones, well, that's mom and daddy, and that's what they get and what they do, and then there's me over here. No, they apply to you too. You're under them. They're teaching you. But that time will quickly go away when you'll not be under them and under their authority and their responsibility in that great direct way that it is in childhood. And you'll step out there into life yourself. And you'll be responsible. You will be responsible to the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that what it says? So, in regards to ask, who should we ask? The Lord. Who should we seek for? The Lord. The Lord. And understand, this isn't optional. This is very necessary. Seek ye the Lord, it says in Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. We've already touched on some that talked about that, haven't we? Forsake that on your own way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Think. The Lord Jesus yet today is thinking, just like he did with those there in his day, why do evil thoughts come in your mind? Why does an evil way, a way that's against me, come into your heart? We need to submit to the Lord in every way. We need to be asking the Lord about every way. And you know what? As we go and we take a look at our lives, ourselves, our future family, our pursuits, we need to be seeking with the Lord to those things. You know, young people, as they begin to get out of grammar school and going to go on to what's next, whatever it is next, some kind of job, on-the-job training or technical school or college or whatever. Don't need to be seeking by yourself. Need to be seeking with the Lord, with Him. What's the Lord say that I should do? There are roles that the Lord has given to men, and there are roles that are given to women. And that's of the Lord for the blessing of society and the home and the life and everything. And you know what? None should go and pursue and look towards something that doesn't fit with those roles. Otherwise, you're chasing your own way. Let the unrighteous man, his thoughts, it says in Isaiah 55:7, let him return to the Lord. What's that talking about? Seeking to Him, coming to Him, looking towards Him. We talk about repentance, that we repent of our sins and we forsake our sins and we turn unto the Lord. That's the picture that repentance is. That's what the Lord says. We need to be seeking Him and we need to be seeking with Him. And He will have mercy upon him, for our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Ask, seek, and knock, our Lord said. Wasn't that what we read? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What, asking, seeking for, and seeking with, and what about knocking? We need to be knocking with our Lord. You know, the Lord will make it clear about some doors you and I should just not knock on. We saw about Balaam Wednesday night. Balaam went knocking on the door that he should have left alone, didn't he? He did, didn't he? He should have left it alone. Knock. Who should we knock with? Our Lord. As we look at life, a potential spouse. What's the Lord say about their character? What's the Lord say about their godliness? What's the Lord say about their spirituality? What's the Word of God say about the evaluation of such? What's their goal? To be a professional or to be a husband or to be a mother or be a wife? What's their plan? Is there a spiritual connection here first? And then we can get to the connection of the heart. That's the Lord or of the Lord. You know, the world says physical, heart, and then the spiritual if you get around to it. But the Lord says spiritual first. Our own way will lead to destruction, misery. But the Lord says, ask me about them. Seek for them with me. And knock on the doors with me. I'm not talking about going door to door to look for a wife. But you understand what I'm... That the Lord says, with me, with what He says, in His Word. In conclusion, we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Young people, are you still with me or have you gone off to something else? Stay with me, please. This is for you. This helps you. This is the Word of the Lord to you. It's good for all of us because you know what? We middle-aged and older and whatever else there is past the young people, you know, we still have to live life, don't we? We still have this of dealing with our Lord and our Creator, don't we? We have this of our own self and who our Lord would have us to be. The character that we should have in our Lord. Preach much and mention much about the fruit of the Spirit and what we need to add to faith and what we need to exhibit. And we get that from our Lord. That of our homes, our marriages, our dealings with our children, grandchildren, and then our pursuit in life, our work, our charitableness, our service to the Lord, all those things that are there and under pursuits. Do we go our own way and what makes sense to us or what's in vogue with the world or just what's popular or just what the same O that we got from our parents? Or do we, in these things, ask and seek and knock with our Lord? In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, in verse number 9, the scripture says this, "Rejoice, O man, rejoice, O young man, rejoice, O young woman, in thy youth." Are you with me? You reading it?
Yeah.
"And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth." See, the world would have us to believe that God's just an ogre up there looking to squash and rain on your parade every time you bring a smile cracks your lips. God's not that way. He is not that way. He knows to natural man that the ways and the things of the world and the desires of the flesh may look and feel like it'd be a good thing, but he knows in them there is destruction there. And so he tells us the truth about it. And we need to ask him. You think about David. David, the testimony of David, is a man after God's own heart. And what is it that we find about David? David, like no other in the scripture, to my knowledge, and maybe that's not the case, you tell me otherwise, but it's accounted in there several times of David, he asked the Lord about little details about things. Do I go fight? And you know, if it's mentioned once, we know he did it otherwise. Do I go fight? Do I go this way? Will you give him into my hand? He acknowledged right off the bat that to show up at the battle, it was going to have to be the Lord that would do it. Isn't that something? He looked to the Lord. Will you look to the Lord in every aspect, every facet of life? Will you ask and seek and knock with the Lord and to the Lord? Rejoice, O young person, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Because I tell you what, it's a good, fun time. It is. It's an enjoyable time. And walk in the ways of thine heart. Watch how you fill up your heart with those ways. Are the ways going to be your own? Or that which you've gained by asking and seeking and knocking with the Lord? Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. We preached here recently about the eye being single. Is your eye single and full of light, being focused upon the Lord? But know thou that for all these, God will bring thee into judgment. We've all got sins and transgression. We're saved by the grace and the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the children of God living, we've got more sins that the Lord will forgive us if we repent of them. And before him will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not in jeopardy of going to hell in any wise or being separated from our Lord. But I tell you what, as the children of God, we have before us whether we will honor our Lord in our lives and go in his narrow way, that is Jesus, and ask and seek and knock with him to his honor and his glory and for our own blessing. May the Lord help us in that we see that. We will give an account before our Lord. You that are here and not saved, you know, just because you're not saved doesn't mean that you're just out here in the ether to find your own way and do your own thing. I tell you, you that have been raised here, coming to Olmsted Baptist Church and in the days to come, you know what? Your level of responsibility is a notch greater because you've come this much closer to the kingdom of God, the Word of God. And you know what? You got right there right before you from the Lord about how you are to live life. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock to the Lord, with the Lord. Deal with him. Ask him to come and deal with you and your life, your need. The first thing that you need is you need the salvation of your soul. Because see, if you go and you haven't come this close to the Word of God and the truth of God, and you go on and live your life, you know what? You'll be brought into judgment too. The thing it is, it'll be a judgment of your own works up against the Word of God, and that's it. When you have heard and come near the plain truth that you need the Lord in your life in every way. First, that of your soul. But I tell you what, you're called to honor your God and your Creator. Living life. How are you living life? I tell you what, go to the Lord with that. Go to the Lord with that. Don't let it just be this message and it pass and that's it. But go to the Lord with that. How are you living your life?